Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, reflections on Mexican Independence Day and what it means in 2025. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Today marks Mexican Independence Day. On this day in 1810, Catholic priest Miguel Hidalgo called for Mexicans to rise up against Spanish rule. Today, the holiday is celebrated by Mexicans around the world. Joining me to discuss the history and significance of Mexican Independence Day is Alberto Diaz Ramirez. He's a professor of history at the Autonomous University of Baja California. Professor, welcome to Midday Edition.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, so glad you're here. So tell me, this holiday celebrates that battle cry from Father Hidalgo, known as the Cry of Independence or El Grito. What can you tell me about that speech?
Well, when Hidalgo, he pronounced that speech in September 17, it was first for starting uprising against the Spanish rule. Because in that time, Mexico was New Spain, it was belonged to Spain. So the cry of independence, or El Grito de Dolores, more referred to try to start a movement to gain the independence. And the words that he pronounced was long life to New Spain, long life to Spain, and long life to Fernando VII, that was the king. One of the main aspects about this cry of Dolores was because in that time, France, Napoleon, invaded Spain and overthrew the king Fernando VII, and he put his brother, José Bonaparte, so all the colonies in America were is going to be a part of France. So Hidalgo started the movement to now be part of France and have one colony as a new country, independent. So the Cry of Dolores, they started with this idea. But also in that time, in New Spain, there were a lot of inequalities, high taxation, and no rights. For example, the Spaniard born in New Spain, they couldn't have opportunities or jobs, even the mestizos. And only the Spaniards, they have the positions to and the jobs. So mm-hmm. One of the main aspects to try to find new opportunities, fight for rights. And one of the main aspects of the Cry of Hidalgo was that, to try to encourage people to start this uprising against the Spain.
And let me ask you about this, because there's so much that transpired, and like in many cases, you know, the actual independence comes a bit later. So it wasn't until 1821 that Mexican independence was actually granted. Is that right?
That's right. We have 11 years of battle. We start in 1810 with Hidalgo, Miguel Hidalgo. After that, he died in 1911. And we gain our independence in 1821 when Agustín Iturbide, he signed the Cordoba Treaty. And when he signed that with the last viceroy, Juan de Unuhu, we achieved our independence. And the day was September 27th. When we gained finally our independence. But the first movement of the independence was September 1810.
Yeah. Well, so nowadays, how is Mexican Independence Day typically celebrated in Mexico and around the world?
Well, normally the embassies in all the consulates around the world, even here in Mexico, the mayor, he prepare a celebration and he reenact the speech of Hidalgo. So they only changed some things. For example, when they reenact the Grito of Dolores, they use the names. They pronounce the names of all the insurgents they fought against the Spanish rule. For example, Miguel Hidalgo, José María Morelos y Pavón, Ignacio Pérez Rayón, also Vicente Guerrero, and all the women. Then they participate also in the independence movement, and they pronounce words like freedom, justice, democracy, rights, because one of the main issues about the independence is to try to get that ideal. Because as I said before, when it was New Spain, we couldn't have rights. So one of the major aspects of the Cry of Dolores and all, when we celebrate that day, the president or the mayor, they shout for the rights that we have right now.
Well, how have celebrations evolved over the last 200 something years? I mean, what stayed the same?
Well, the same is the parade, for example. And the first celebration was in 1812. They celebrated 2 years after the movement of Hidalgo. In 1812, Ignacio Pérez Rayón and Andrés Quintana Roo, two men that were part of the movement, they celebrate the first movement of independence. After that, when we gained independence in 1825, it was the first commemoration. The president in that time, Guadalupe Victoria, he established that day, and it was only, for example, like dances and people dress up with folklore dresses, and they reenact the Cry of Dolores. After that, in 1896, with Porfirio Diaz, the president at that time, he established, they changed the date. They started the celebration the 15th September, not the 16th September, because the 15th September was his birthday. So he tried to put the day, the 15th September, not the 16th September. So after the revolutionary movement, we continue to celebrate the Independence Day, the 16th September. So there is sometimes the political, they use the day for different purposes. The first one was for military purposes. After that, as a celebration, because we were a republic. And with Porfirio Diaz, he changed the date, but he celebrate in the same way. And all the traditions that we can see in the celebration, like the flags, the food, the dances, the parade, and the reenact the Grito, are the same.
Well, listen, last night, President Claudia Sheinbaum led the Independence Day ceremony in Mexico City, making history as the first woman to do it in 215 years. Take a listen. It sends goosebumps up your spine to hear all of that excitement. Talk to me about the significance of that moment.
Well, it is very important because it's the first year of her in the presidency, and also for the very first time we have a woman in holding that position as a president, so it's a good sign for us. And also yesterday when she gave the speech, the Grito of Dolores, he reenacted the Grito of Dolores, he remembered all the women that they fought in the independence movement. For example, Leona Vicario, she mentioned Leona Vicario. She mentioned also another girl like Josefa Ortiz Dominguez, and other woman that he spent, well, she gave money for the movement, Maria Gutierrez Teodora, Bocanegra, Maria Ignacia Rodriguez. She remembered all the women, they participate in the independence movement. So it's a good sign, because when we think in the independence of Mexico, we only think in one part, men, but we forgot that also women, they fought for the same mission, the same project to have a country. And it's a good sign to hear that, because this president, Sheinbaum, she tried to remember that women are important in our country. And that is a good sign, I think, as a historian, as a citizen, also as a person, to hear that the president, Sheinbaum, he remembered the importance of women in the whole project of Mexico and also in the independence movement.
Yeah, that is great. You know, this year, many celebrations have been downsized due to concerns about immigration enforcement. The Mexican consulate in San Diego did not host their large celebration this year, although they did hold a number of local events. How is the current political climate in the U.S. affecting the meaning of Mexican Independence Day this year?
Well, it's kind of sad to hear that some consulate, they couldn't have that celebration because, as you know, there are a lot of Mexicans that live in the United States. And to be part of Mexico is not only an identity, it's also the symbols that we have, like the flag or the celebration in family, because one of the main values for the Mexicans are the family. So it's kind of sad to hear that they couldn't have this opportunity to celebrate this important day, because to celebrate the Mexican Independence Day is not just a day, it's our history. And it's kind of difficult to realize how the impact of this in the Mexican community, because it hurts the community. And the politics and the immigration enforcement doing by the federal government to the Mexican community divide families and danger families as well. So I think it will be kind of difficult for them. But my message to my Mexican community, the Mexican-American community, is to be resilient to this situation, to be together, to embrace our heritage, our history, our language, also our traditions, our culture, and our identity, because I know that our flag is not just a symbol for our country or our nation. It also is part of us. So I think that is important. I understand the difficulties that it happened right now in the United States, but my message for the community in the Southern California, also in San Diego, even in Tijuana, is to feel proud of our roots, our culture, and identity, no matter what. We are Mexicans, even if they are in the United States, we are in Mexico, we share the same feeling, and we are a society, a community that we feel proud of our roots. So my message to them is to be together, try to enjoy the celebration at home, for example, and be in contact with these relatives, because one main aspect for the Mexicans are the family. So I think we can continue to protect our family in these difficult days.
All right. I've been speaking with Professor Alberto Diaz Ramirez, a historian at the Autonomous University of Baja California. Alberto, thank you so much, and happy Mexican Independence Day.
Thank you so much.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.